Good evening. This is Mae Brussel. My program is titled World Watchers, and this is broadcast number 695, April the 1st, 1985. Last week, I was talking about these organizations that are covered as humanitarian or charitable or medical relief, helping the people who are victims of the weapons that we sell in the countries where we profit from the sale of these weapons and the wars, and then we send in millions of dollars to supply the relief after people are injured or widowed or orphaned. And I was trying to make a connection of the organizations that we call charitable to the Defense Department and also to other areas that are causing the complications and problems that are taking place. And just to review for 1 second before we go on, because I want some of this to be very clear in your minds, or as clear as possible for people who missed the program last week. A continuation here, I described a meeting the past 2 weeks in September of 1984 in San Diego of the World Anti-Communist League, set up in 1966 in Taiwan by the son of Chiang Kai-shek and by Reverend Moon in South Korea, and with money from the intelligence community, aided by Richard Vagary of the far right, the fundraiser for Young Americans for Freedom and for Jesse Helms and many of the other groups linked directly back to the World Anti-Communist League. And at that meeting in 1984, the president of World Anti-Communist League became Major General John Singlaub. Attending the meetings regularly and part of the organization and structure are Nazis from World War II, heads of death squads in Central South America or even in Asia, wherever death squads are used, assassination teams, military activists that want military solutions, people whose stated goal is to overthrow the Russian government and the Chinese government, which naturally involves their techniques in warfare that we would be included with or be asked to die for or pay for, these 98 countries. And after that meeting in September of 84, John Singlaub went on to the Defense Department to meet with General Aderholt, formerly of the CIA, and working with Singlaub under him with the Special Operations Group in the Phoenix Program in Southeast Asia, and General Lansdale, also part of the Phoenix Operation and the Counterintelligence Group from Southeast Asia. Singlaub, Aderholt, and Lansdale meeting with the Defense Department, planning operations of counterintelligence to escalate the wars in Central America, to control them for American arms and for American profits and use. The people or native population, except for a handful, are not considered. That it broadly narrows down to a handful of people and American corporations that profit from all of the debts that we get into for funding this kind of thing, much less the guilt or the blood or the karma of how many we've allowed to be killed. And after the December meeting, there was an article in the Washington Post about the links of the Vatican and the Knights of Malta, the literal military branch, the Sovereign Military Order of Malta, and the agents of that group, such as J. Peter Grace and Prescott Bush and Zbigniew Brzezinski and William Simon, and their role in delivering supplies, $14 million in 2 years, down to Central America, in sharing warehouses with General Aderholt of the Central Intelligence Agency and the El Salvador military dictatorship. So you bringing in the defense, the Vatican, and also the links of Reverend Moon and Soldier of Fortune. And Soldier of Fortune, of course, is opened up another branch for training military in Colorado, a adjunct or part of the Defense Department. If our Pentagon isn't supposed to be doing this work, the Soldiers of Fortune train them. So that these various elements that began after World War II, that started over with the Chinese, the Asian League, and the anti-communist group in Taiwan, developed in South Korea, and then moved into the United States area, funded by the United States, but having the president of the organization with these various fascist elements around the world in the United States working with the Defense Department. I keep repeating this because it is very important to the way wars will be fought in the future as they're being fought now without our decision and even this handful of people with so much power can decide if and when the bomb goes off. There won't be a Congress to vote or declare war. They will have disinformation and material for you to be forced to go to war, and the decisions will be out of our hands just as they are now. Because once you relinquish those powers, as I cited several weeks ago, when William Donovan took over the organizations that became the OSS and into the CIA, and you give them the right to assassinate and to sabotage, and it becomes legal under a presidential edict, then you can't unturn that, and it doesn't limit how many you can assassinate or sabotage, and so it continues. Now, going back to the research done by some other people other than myself, but melding into what I have, and very much understanding their work and adding to what I knew, always liking and appreciating to learn from other people, there are some who have studied the magazines, the Gung Ho, Eagles, The Soldier of Fortune, The Survivalist Magazine, The New Breed. And if you haven't read those, I'll be doing a lot of that for you probably next week if I don't have time, but maybe some this week. If you don't have those magazines, I suggest you go on the stand and start buying them now. I think I've mentioned it before. If you want to see America 1986 or 87, you better put down Women's Day or Sports Illustrated or Time or Newsweek or Life or whatever you read and start getting those magazines, because that is the face of America, and they work with the intelligence community, work with the Defense Department and the Vatican, and that is going to be America. As much as you hide your head, you better face it and see what is ahead, because hiding it isn't going to make it any sweeter. Now, their study is centered on John Singlaub, and these particular people wrote that General John Singlaub exemplifies the military intelligence link, which oversees and coordinates today's paramilitary groupings. And that, again, gets in the timely news of the United States. And people on the board of Western Gold, such as Mr. Wigner, he was a member of the BND and has contacts to Vienna and Germany that go right back to the roots of these problems in the first place. Mr. Senholz on the board of Western Gold was a former member of the Luftwaffe, of Hitler's Air Corps, and works with the Pew Family and Foundation, extremely right-wing before the war, and he's nestled into their operation. And Admiral Moore and George Patton III, I'll do a list of Western Gold's members in a little while, but Singlaub works with them on the board and also is linked to the police departments, as I say, by these computers with their international links. And he is the exemplification of the military intelligence group working at all different levels. Singlaub, according to this report, uses military intelligence network links that cover overseas and coordinates the paramilitary group. He is the key figure linking the four most important organizations that come together that I cited several times for you, and we'll do more on them individually. These are the elements of today's extremist right, and from them branch the other areas, but they all connect together in some way with these various elements. One are the mercenary magazines, the paramilitary network. They advertise Nazi tapes, Nazi helmets and clothing, and hate cassettes and films and books on battle and the mistakes of World War II and the victories of now and how to apply it. And they're filled with pictures of killing and stabbing and dead people. And those are the mercenary magazines. The second is the World Anti-Communist League that I've exposed or talked about at length and can do more. The American Security Council and their allied coalition through Peace Through Strength that I mentioned, and Western Goals, used by the former John Birch head, Larry McDonald, and their links to the intelligence network in Germany and Vienna, and the implications of what it means for filling the hands of John Singlaub and the continuation of Senator Joseph McCarthy people with material that the guerrillas can use if they want to go door to door. If there is a takeover or violence in this country, the people's homes would be identified, and you would know exactly where to strike if you wanted to take people who you thought would be a resistance to fascism in this country. When I worked for the Census Department 4 or 5 years ago, I learned that every single person is identifiable to a block and a house. And when the final reports come in, you can name any single person and find the block and house they live on. And if they have a P.O. box, general delivery, you can find the city, and eventually you can find their location. They use the Department of Motor Vehicle. So the potential here is tremendous, considering the people who are running the various organizations and the direct link to the military. Admiral Moore is on the board of Western Goals. As I say, I'll run down their names later. But combined with these are the extreme elements, and these organizations are always maintaining ties to the fascists, the neo-Nazis, and the death squads. The growing variety of the paramilitary right, they claim, these researchers, is widely distributed through the magazines, and they have large circulation and publication. They're not just small operations. They get into the hands of a lot of people. And they listed 7 points about these magazines that are pertinent to them. Number one, they're filled with color and photo sheets of mutilated bodies. 2, they advertise the Waffen-SS uniforms and the clothes and the rings and human skulls that you can buy from them. Incidentally, there is a book, a three-part book on Anthony Sutton, who wrote On Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler, who has a book on the secret society in Yale that George Bush is a member of, and William Buckley, the Skull and Crossbones, where they are allegedly supposed to, in the initiation, dig up a grave of a famous person and bring in the skull before they can become a member of the organization. And this is the most exclusive organization, one of the most exclusive cult-type groups in the United States. I haven't sent for his book, but I understand it includes the information about the kinds of skulls that our high officials partake in order to work their way up to the highest echelons of the government and intelligence and part of the Vatican network, digging up skulls for initiation process. That's, as I say, I have to send for the book, but people who know about the Skull and Crossbones Society at Yale have talked about this and say, yes, it does exist, and this is a requirement of joining it. So maybe these mercenaries and the groups from Soldier of Fortune and Gung Ho aren't so bad as our leaders in Washington, if in fact these are things that they do as part of their college training. The third point is they advertise axes, daggers, silencers, high-powered, rapid-firing weapons to be used for mass combat actions, and of course the silencers are to be used for murder. They maintain notices of where the mercenaries are to go to be the battle. They're for hire, and you can't separate whether the government, the Pentagon, is paying the money, and because we can't send soldiers there, we can't send an army there, but they can go for hire, and who is really paying them? Mr. Brown, a Soldier of Fortune, I'm sure isn't putting up the money, and John Singlau, Major John Singlau, with his trips to the intelligence community and the Defense Department, can pick up the money. There is no way to know, because these organizations are not separated from where the money tree shakes, and their intent and purposes is stated that we will do the things that Congress doesn't want us to do and the President says we can bypass them. The fifth thing that they mention in these magazines is the paramilitary training camps and the use of heavy weapons. And the articles exalt the lives and subcultures of mercenaries as being exciting on how to kill and how to slice and the adrenaline and how many they picked up. And illustrations of gruesome and sadistic parts of the Vietnam War and the current fighting in Central America. I have a big collection of these magazines, and I can vouch for that. They meet annually or regularly to sell shirts and clothing and weapons and discuss their feats, and they carry out their own mercenary, covert, or unconventional operations with the approval of the U.S. administration. A perfect example was the group of paramilitary working at that Crystal River arrest. It was in March, just before Ronald Reagan was shot, March of 81, and they were around some very sensitive areas, and they were picked up and never charged, and had weapons for assassination. And then later this group linked down to the intended invasion of Dominica and linked to the Ku Klux Klan and the Nazis and the Grand Dragon of the Klan and even to John Connolly, a member of Permandex. And so they have a lot of places in the United States where they can practice and train. And if they're found with these weapons and silencers and so forth, they're just released because they are a branch of the United States government, the Special Forces, in North Carolina is a legal branch of the government, and then these people are trained by members of the special forces, or they're out of the special forces. They left Vietnam or Korea or special forces or Nazi Germany to then work as, in quotes, mercenaries. And they carry out, as I say, their private wars and their methods and have the approval of the highest authority. And again, as Ronald Reagan said, it is perfectly American to do this. Now, they cite a March 1983 Soldier of Fortune, a full-page advertisement with manuals and cassettes for studies in sniping and advanced by the Special Training School and Technical Seminar. The seminar was especially created for the exclusive use of the Special Training School by former Chief Instructor of Special Forces Sniper School at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. So they come from North Carolina, as I say, to the training camps to teach them how to do it. So the Army is really training an illegal branch of the Army that we're calling private mercenaries, but are being trained to kill because the Special Forces haven't been ordered to go to this place or that place. It continues, this seminar is organized as a training guide for the sniper instructor on how to kill. It covers operational distinctions, sniper selection, how you decide who to kill, the use of unconventional warfare. Unconventional warfare is not shooting, you shoot and he shoots back. It's using wires and tapes and garroting and hanging and everything from a blade or a toothpick, I suppose. Ways to kill is the art of unconventional warfare. They teach ambushes and hiding and observation. In addition to mercenary magazines, are a larger variety of survivalist and weapon magazines. Now, this is an interesting combination, again, that goes into the CIA, to military coups, and the publications are not separate from those agents of the current Defense Department, like the Special Forces and so forth, and the higher-ups in the Defense Department. But through the magazines, it's their means of getting what Congress doesn't ask for and can't get, and what the Defense Department isn't allowed to do. It can be done by putting these magazines into operation and getting the people you need and the trainers you need to do what isn't supposed to be done. And this, again, goes back to what I was saying 2 weeks ago of the way the Constitution was usurped, the intention of this country, putting your money, your CIA, your taxes, or your debt into the hands of these people to literally do what they want. And a study, as I say, has been made by some people into these magazines, and they broke them down. There are three categories, the mercenary, the soldiers, and they overlap the substance in them, the survivalist, and the weapons. And the Eagle Office, one of those papers, is called the Eagle, the typical survivalist, and it's published, and they also publish street survival weapons, another group, and combat weapons. They talk about the combat weapons and the street survival. The Eagle Office is run by David Atlee Phillips. Atlee Phillips was in charge of the CIA down in South America, in Chile, at the time that Salvador Allende was killed, and Orlando Letelier. He currently has a lawsuit against Don Freed that has been pending for years. He's been active with the death squads in South America and also worked closely with Vernon Walters, our new ambassador to the United Nations, a Knight of Malta, and Michael Townley and George Bush from Task Force 157. With Edwin Wilson, David Atlee Phillips' career covers the task force that Henry Kissinger was the head of with Robert Keith Gray. So a man active with the Eagle magazine and with combat handguns and street survival weapons came directly from the intelligence community, and he was angry at the way it was cut off at the time of the Watergate exposure, so he goes into these magazines. Now that's David Atlee Phillips. The other magazine, Soldier of Fortune, another one, as I've mentioned before, by Robert Keith Brown, and I wrote about him, I repeat, in the Rebel magazine of his links to the Aryan Nations and Identity and the Christian organizations that worked with the assassins of John Kennedy. Robert Keith Brown worked in Southeast Asia with these men. I'll go to his career in a little while. He has two magazines, Soldier of Fortune, again put up by John Singh Laub, and Survive. He's the publisher and editor of Soldier of Fortune and Survive. A man on the staff of Survive, his name is Gerald Purnell, P-O-U-R-N-E-L-L-E, is the technology editor for Survive, but he also writes for Soldiers of Fortune. They interchange because they're owned by the same person, and the material is similar, but carries a little bit of difference of shade. But basically, it's how great I was when I killed these people, and how am I going to kill those people, and how can you learn to kill and defend yourself and go on to aggressive anti-communist stance, which involves these kinds of weapons and techniques for wiping out citizens in their country who, for whatever reason, poverty or a lot of reasons, are gauged even from age 12 years and up as communists and therefore are wiped out. Now, this magazine Survive in May, June 1983, besides the article by Jerry Purnell, the same issue, had an article by John Singlaub. Of course, he said, you know, this is also convenient. He has the magazine that he sets up. He can use it as a forum for writing and propaganda purposes. He can attack Senator Edward Kennedy if he opposes military programs, or any senator who does. And by his writing it in these magazines, the paramilitary know who are their friends and who are not, defined by the likes of Singlaub or David Attlee Phillips attacking various politicians or officials, which practically marks them for something that could happen to them, because we're talking about this kind of guerrilla activity that is moving into the United States. Now, David Attlee Phillips was one of the most important intelligence links from the CIA and the Defense Department to the mercenary magazines, because he was so high up in the intelligence, the former head of Western Hemisphere operations for the entire CIA. So he takes over after he leaves there, and he sets up an organization for retired intelligence people, a far-right group. And until December of 1983, he was a contributing editor of articles for Eagle magazine, the mercenary magazine, and he also writes for Robert Brown of Soldier of Fortune. So the former Western head of the Western Hemisphere for operations of the Central Intelligence Agency is working with the private mercenary magazines, with the advertisements of killing and the Waffen-SS, something that is so grisly and foreign to the United States that is becoming so apple pie that people accept it very quietly instead of being outraged. It'd be similar to the Klan hanging the blacks in the era that they were doing this, and then having books and stories with pictures of them and disseminating them and telling you how to further kill more people, and here are the weapons, and here are the ropes, and here's where you buy the maps, and here's the houses of where these people are. What we've moved to is something, we had a bad situation before that is getting worse. And as the Nazi element took over and instructed these people in the ways of torture and killing, and including the British Empire and William Stevenson of the OSS, if you've seen any of these movies recently on India and the British Empire, they weren't very nice, the torture and the things that went on in order to maintain the empire. But this country, I believe, is getting totally out of control. You can call it freedom of the press, but when the press is the intelligence community and your own Defense Department and the people at home, the liberals, the free thinkers, the labor movement, the Jews, the blacks, the Chicanos, the various races that would be wiped out, when these people have written books and say, this is what I want to do, I want to kill and I want to wipe you out, and then meet with the people who say, here's how you can kill, and here's how you get money to do the killing. We'll give you the money, and here's where you get uniforms, and here's where you can listen to Adolf Hitler, and here's the location for identifying who is connected to the good guys and the bad guys, and tap into computers. That no longer is freedom of speech. That is arranging a revolution in this country, chaos at the least, and a takeover is what their goal is. And as I say, Major Singlaub is a spiritual grandfather of the Soldier of Fortune. He publishes along with David Attlee Phillips and along with him. And the Soldier of Fortune runs continuously the ads for the Waffen-SS. And that's very important because in their privacy, they dress up, and the American Nazis in this country dress up with the uniforms and give the hand salute and practice what was done in Germany. And for no reason, this country had no reason to go that way. we're getting unemployment, and so far there isn't a big depression, but there is absolutely no reason for the United States to become armed every 20 miles. The goal of the Minutemen, it should have been stopped there. For the stockpiling of weapons, for selling weapons, for the instructions that Colonel William Gale, who became a reverend, has for how to garrote and how to kill, or William Pierce's book, The Turner Diary, that is not literature or freedom of press. And I really think that to end the chaos in this country, that is going to happen. And I don't think it's possible that people are intelligent enough to want it to not happen. They don't even know it's happening, that people actually are buying constantly the Nazi regalia and have the German flags and listen and march to these German records and cassettes. Now, Singlaub wrote for Eagle magazine in February in 1984 when he was deputy of the CIA station chief in Korea, under Colonel Vandervoort during the Korean War. He said during the Vietnam War, he was commander of MACVSOG, the Military Assistance Command Vietnam Studies and Operation Group. He describes this in February of 84 about his operations in Vietnam. He said the purpose was to run unconventional covert operations in Cambodia, Laos, possibly China, in addition to Vietnam operations, which apparently included the Phoenix operation. He's not ashamed of it. He writes for Eagle, the other magazine closely associated with him. Now, it was William Donovan of the OSS who set up the special covert unconventional warfare. The OSS becomes the CIA. The branch is set up with Great Britain, and World Commerce Corporation becomes the organization for Permandex and the assassination teams, and also for rebuilding the German munition cartels. That was the express goal. In the book Operation Sunrise, it tells about Heinrich Himmler and SS Karl Wolff working with the OSS, with Alan Dulles and William Donovan. And of course, Alan Dulles ends up on the Warren Commission when the very people that I'm mentioning are linked directly to the murder of John Kennedy. The incestuous relationship of John McCloy releasing the Nazis to set up the special forces in North Carolina and being on the Warren Commission, the killing of Kennedy and the covering up of it are not separated from these groups who, according to these researchers, are afraid, have worked in the domestic area, and who I believe are responsible for the past assassinations and, of course, for whatever they want to do in the future because they are not identified enough. This one report quotes again Eagle interview with John Singlaub in February 84, where David Atlee Phillips was contributing that the SOG study in Vietnam was for studies and observation originally. Their cover was that they were doing research and analyzing lessons learned of this war for all the services. That was their operation. It was supposed to be research. But he says, I learned then that SOG, the Special Operation Group, was initially planned to stand for Special Operations Group, and SOG's mission was to conduct covert and clandestine operations in Southeast Asia to enhance the ability for the, in quotes, free world military forces to carry out their mission and at the same time reduce the effectiveness of the communists in Laos, Cambodia, and Vietnam. They weren't very successful at any of that, in spite of all the blood that spilled. And again, wouldn't you think that there would be some new team brought in? If the old ways don't work, how much can you spill and ruin before you go to another continent and do the same thing? The funds are endless, and as I cited before, a problem with the CIA organization was that there was no provision for proper briefing on the members of Congress who vote the allocations for the money for this activity. This report says it was nearly a classic joint unconventional warfare task force. This is Singlaub, again quoting him, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine personnel, officers, enlisted people in the Special Operations Group. It had civilian personnel from the United States side, from the Central Intelligence Agency, and from the United States Intelligence, USIA, the United States Information Agency. It would have been a combined unconventional warfare task force because the greater percentage of the forces assigned to us were Vietnamese and non-United States. What Singh Lab was saying in his magazine of February 84 was how the Joint Unconventional Warfare Task Force included all members of the armed forces, and later in a few weeks, I want to go into Ronald Reagan's escalating the combination only overtly now, covertly, of the SEALs, the Rangers, the Special Forces for operations which were tested in Grenada. They overthrew that little island we could have gotten along with Maurice Bishop to test those operations and to use the combined forces that began to merge in Vietnam. I have to take a one-minute break now because this tape is about to run out, and I'll be back with you with some more on the survivalist Gung Ho magazines and their role with the intelligence community.